Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
There's, you know the Bible says about mothers, right? God made them. How did he make them? He made them in his image. He made them male and female. But that was a simpler time, wasn't it? You're made in the image of God. Even though we call him Father, you're made in the image of God. And the Apostle Paul, to the church in Thessalonica, wrote and said, "We were apostles in your midst. We came like a mother." I'll maybe read that verse later on. So, you know, we hear about the apostolic ministry and apostles and all this stuff, and we call them their fathers in the house and this sort of stuff. Well, guess what, folks? You better, if you're an apostle, you better be a mother in the house too, because that's what Paul defined apostleship to be like. We were like a mother doing this, and then we were like a father. So it's this dual dynamic. So you have to understand when we look through the scriptures, there's a lot there. But we talk about Mother's Day. We just want to welcome you folks to the podcast here. If you're listening, if that's being recorded here tonight, we welcome you from around the world, wherever you are. Well, tonight here in Canada, where we are, it's Mother's Day. So we're celebrating Mother's Day. And I want to celebrate Mother's Day. I want to take every chance I get. I don't even know why we call it Mother's Day. I really think we should call it maybe Remembrance Day, because mothers, it's just one day for mothers. are you serious about that? Just one day for mothers? Like, that's it? Okay, you got your pancakes and sausages today, and then the rest of the year you do the barbecue. No, seriously, folks, it should be, it really shouldn't be just one day. It should be a remembrance of what moms are all about. Reflecting and revealing the heart of God, and we've heard some of that this morning. You know, I really thought it was kind of a redundant, it's a very redundant thing. Every time I hear the word, I just kind of, it's like, you know, she's a working mom. And I'm going, do you have a stutter? Like, because working mom, you're just saying the same thing over again. Like, you're saying, she's working, you know, she's a working mom. You mean moms that don't work if they're just a mom? Are you serious? That's just a redundant expression. And I actually could have called this Jesus work, because you're doing Jesus work, moms. And there's something that's been a word on my heart. It's really stuck with me for just this whole time. And probably a month now. And I really want to just release that before I even get in. We're just leaving on the pitch here for a second. I'll get to my message on mothers in a moment. Just has been working through me. There's just some things you never give up on. There's just some things you never give up on. I want that to penetrate into your heart tonight. I'm picturing mom watching their son walk out the door. Like the prodigal, like the father. Remember? Created in my image, male, female. Well, father, mother, right? So don't just go, well, that's the prodigal. No, that's the father. No, that's the mother heart of God. He sees so much further. He's looking at the way at the horizon. And I can just see him. I could just see you, Mom, watching him walk out the door, and you're weeping for this one. And I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know who this is here for, but I keep getting this expression in my heart, this phrase in my heart, and it's just going to release it here for you. There's just some things you never give up on. You got that? All right, for you guys here tonight that you're not a mother and you're looking to mother. Wait, what are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be able to celebrate with mom? Anyways, I'm quite surprised. But this is the culture of Brandon, honestly. I go to the hospital, and I see so many people visiting in the hospitals. I'm going, I'm not used to this culture. I've been here for 18 years. I'm just not used to this kind of culture. So, I mean, they'll shut restaurants down because it's Mother's Day, because they're with mom, right? So thank you for being here tonight and just honoring him, the mother heart and the father heart of God. But now for us, you'll never be able to pay her back. Okay? You'll never be able to pay her back. Don't ever try it. The second thing is, you look to your mother now, for you that are looking to your mom, I want you to understand something. Don't judge her. Jesus stood in front of the people and he said, do not judge, right? And I hear this, the craziest definitions of love I've ever heard. Don't judge me. I wasn't judging you. You're going 130 miles an hour. I just I watched the car go by. I'm trying to catch you, by the way. You passed me. I was doing 120. You passed me. You had to do at least 100. Don't you judge me. I wasn't judging you. I'm just telling you what you were going for a speed. I hear this all the time. When Jesus says, do not judge, he's not talking about that. We're going to judge the nation. We're going to do that. When he's talking about do not judge, he's talking about don't assume to know the motive of her heart. Did you get that? Don't try to figure out the why. And some of you, you may be even orphans. And you're looking and you're just mad at mom because why did she ever... Don't go there. Okay? Why didn't she stop this? Why didn't she do that? Do not go there. You never know what's going on inside of her. She could be weeping to this day about that moment in time. Don't judge your heart. If you want to stop the pain, don't judge. All right? All right. Starting well. Here we go. Where am I? I'm right here. Point number one. Let's bring up point number one. We want to welcome you folks up there. You're the most important part of this whole night in my mind. You think, no, the worship was awesome. Didn't you? When God here? I was hoping he'd do his Elvis impersonation, but he didn't do that tonight. So didn't want you ladies swooning and falling on us here. It's crazy. But all right, point number one. So this is point number one. We're talking about starting well. I'm going to talk about Mama's Matter. Okay, can you just hold your own for a moment here? It's not how you start, it's how you end, right? Come on, everybody can say amen. Are you so full of... What do they do for Mother's Day? I know what they do for Thanksgiving. I know what they do for... What do they eat for Mother's Day? Pardon? Oh, I was looking for some good hummus. I've been overseas for too long. I said, is there any good hummus in this town? I want some hummus, man, or some Iranian bread. But it's not how you start, it's how you end. We heard that. And I've got the scripture to prove it, right? So let's just look at a couple of scriptures here. And before we... this is from Ezekiel 33 and verse 18. If a righteous person turns from their righteousness, okay, so how did they start? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness, how did they start? They started well, right? And does evil, they will die for it. It's not about how you start, it's about how you end, folks. That's what it's all about. And if a wicked person, how did they start out? Didn't start out very well. Turns from their away from their wickedness and does what is just and right, they will live by doing so, okay? It's not about how you start, it's about finishing well. Can everybody say that together? Finishing well. It's about that. So let's get that into our spirits, let's get that into our hearts, and it's never too late. Amen? My wife graduated from university when she was 56 years old. Yeah. Come on. It's never too late. We got a girl here, and she released her age, so don't shoot me, because you did it once. I'm just following your example. She spoke at seniors. Noelle spoke at seniors. Can I say it? Am I okay? She said, I'm okay. Like, what's she going to say to me, right? I got the microphone. I'm pleading with her. Listen, batting my eyes, trying to get the thing out right. Because if I don't get the age, it isn't going to work. She's 62 years old. She just became a believer like less than 2 years ago, and there she was over there in the Philippines for 3 months, preaching, speaking, teaching, going to the discipleship centers, going to these probation, it was incredible. It's never too late, folks. So you can. It doesn't matter about your start, it's about finishing well, amen? Okay, let's look at another verse. Now, this is going to surprise you. Mark chapter 7, verse 15. Nothing outside a person can defile him. Oh, this is such a verse. Oh, don't, you ushers, close the doors. I don't care what you think about me. Don't lose this verse. Don't lose this principle. It'll save your life. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going inside them. What's it talking about? Didn't start very well. I had a rough background. You know, my husband, he tricked me. I had a rough upbringing. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, et cetera. I didn't get much of an education. You know, I had a stutter when I got bullied when I was in school. He says here, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of the person that defiles them. Do you get that? It's about finishing well. It's about how you respond to that past that you've had. Okay, do you get that? It's absolutely critical that we understand that. Jesus goes on, I know you think he's talking about food, but in one place, in the same spot in Mark, he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. So it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. How many ever heard this expression, especially you IT people? Garbage in. We all know that. How come we don't know this verse? That's not a kingdom principle. You can have all the garbage in the world. You can have all the garbage in the world out there. So it's not what goes into you that defiles you. It's how you respond and what's coming out of your heart. That's what's defiling you. Do you get that? It's not garbage in garbage. Otherwise, you're poisoned. You're done. You may as well quit now. No, it's about how you finish it, how you handle that stuff. Well, you say, well, Len, you don't know my story. Well, you don't know my story. Some of you people with a deceived mind might be looking, well, I wish I was like Len. Boy, are you ever deceived. You don't know what it's like to get up here and declare the word of the Lord. You don't know what it's like to get a phone call at 9:30 on a Saturday night that says your brother just put a gun to his head. And it's the Saturday before Easter. And the pastor's gone, so I've got to do both messages. So I can't tell anybody because all they're going to do is think about Lennon and his brother just committed suicide and all that's going to go for you. And by the way, I had a message. It was Easter. Remember the empty tomb? Well, I had a message title for the morning. Guess what the title was? Some of you were probably here for that message. The funeral's been canceled. So I got up there after hearing my brother just took a bullet to his head. Got up there and preached that the funeral's been canceled. And the only person I could tell was my wife because I couldn't. I remember Pastor Ashby coming up to me afterwards and shaking my hand and said, man, did you ever preach today, brother? And I thought, if only you knew. If only you knew. And then I had to go around and do another message in the evening because Pastor Mike was gone. Try that sometime. Try watching, when you got your friends over, try watching your dad grab a hold, straight arming your mother up against the wall like this. I could tell you stories too, folks. You know what he said? You know what Jesus said, the one you just worshiped and put your hands up for? He said, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of you. It's out of your heart flow all the issues of life. It's absolutely critical or else you're going to say, I'm a victim the rest of your life. You're always going to be, everything you do is going to be dependent on what happened back there. Folks, Jesus didn't die so that you could just have a future that's so dependent on your past. He didn't walk that way. He didn't go that road. You got to let that stuff go. Realize Jesus got a plan in the future and a hope for your life. Embrace that. Handle that with forgiveness and then walk on with God. Amen? Boy, do I ever feel the arrows flying at me tonight? I should have brought a big... Can I turn this pulpit into a shield? Holy smokes, man. You know what? It's my circumstances. You know, it was a neighborhood. It was my bad upcraming. You know, I didn't... You know, I went on the... Yeah, try handling betrayal sometime. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Len, you got it so easy. Yeah, you've got no idea. So they had this thing on the CTV, and it was like, in honor of Mother's Day, CTV asked a few of Canada's most prominent female CEOs and leaders. And there was one here that just went right in line with that. I just read it over here this afternoon. Here's one. I like this one, too. This is from Carolyn Riseborough. She's the president and CEO of Plan International Canada. So she's one of our movers and shakers in the nation. There was one, I think, sentimental piece of advice that my mother gave me, and I can't even remember. And I can even remember that we were sitting in the car. Boy, can you tell? This is right there. And we were sitting in the car, and we were just talking about the future. I was just about to graduate university and go into the workplace. It was a very challenging time, and I remember saying, quote, but you know I'm scared. I've never done this before. And her words, so her mother's words, sitting in that car to me, were very wise in that she said, Well, then do it scared. For me, that has been a game changer in my life, because there are times when we feel fear. That's not the one I wanted to read you, though. Remember, I'm talking about out of the heart? Listen to what this gal said. She said, Rhiannon Rosalind, she's the president, owner, and she got them all. She's the president, she's the owner, and CEO of the Economic Club of Canada. The biggest thing my grandmother taught me, now, by the way, this is what she said. I grew up in a household where we didn't have a whole lot, and my mom was a single mom, and my grandma helped raise me, okay? So the biggest thing that my grandmother taught me, and I believe I still bring this forward today, she basically taught me that it doesn't matter what education somebody has, it doesn't matter what somebody's title is, it doesn't matter where they went to school or what neighborhood they live in, the thing that matters the most is people's character and their hearts. That is so biblical. That is so biblical. You have absolutely, it's out of the heart, so all the issues of life. It's about that very thing. Now, of course, if you want to be a nurse, you want to go to school, right? I don't want you coming in because you got a good heart. I want you coming in because you went to school at Bionic University and you have a registered nursing badge on your thing, right? But the thing is, it's your heart that's going to get you through school. It's your heart that's going to not let you give up on that thing. It's your heart that's going to say, you know what, I'm going to keep going, no matter whether I got an F in this class or not. No matter what my teacher said, I'm not going to make it. It's your heart that pushes you through those things. So that's the area that you really got to walk through. All right, so that's that area. Okay, point number two. By the way, yeah, why not? Does anybody have, you know, that was some advice there that a CEO, does anybody have a word they have about moms? They have something to say about their mother? They have something to say about telling us that you want to handle? Anybody here? Hey, Todd, come on, Todd. Come on up here. You got to start. Come on. Watch this. Hey, yeah. What did I just say? No fear, right? Then do it scared. Come on, let him see what somebody looks like scared. Just tell him. Rascal. Can we do this? Are we good with that? Do you want me to hold the mic? Just tell him.
Did that work? I was at work on Friday.
No regrets.
And I was going around every teacher I could find. Wanted to wish them happy Mother's Day. And some of them I was using the word honor. And a lot of the teachers, honor. They weren't expecting honor as a mother. And then also I was also telling them, because I lost mine last year. And I said, the one thing you should never do, one thing you should do this Mother's Day is hug, do whatever you can. Spend every second with your mother. Because the last thing you want is no regrets. Because that man phoned me after my mom died. And the first thing he said to me is, you have no regrets. So spend every second you can with your mom so you don't have regrets. Because like you said this morning, once you have ashes in your hand, then it's too late. So
there you go. See, he did pretty good, didn't he? Now I got double whammy. Live without regrets, folks. Just live without regrets. Anybody else? Come on. I need one more. Just come up there and say something about moms. Or you're all scared, right? These are Christians. They all sit beside somebody else, right? I can see you getting nervous out there. Jim, come on up. I like family because we can do this right. There you go, Jim.
Well, it is a surprise to be talking to you. I was a fortunate person to have a wonderful mother. And as I look at my life, she exemplified Christ to me. I have friends in this town that talk about the fact that she was their Sunday school teacher and how much she meant to them and what she did for them. And she was a quiet person. She wasn't the sort of person that was in your face. She gave you lots of space and everything else. She had to go to work because my dad couldn't work. It was just all kinds of things. So I was very fortunate to have what you would say, someone that I look at all the time as being somebody that I want to exemplify. And I fail very badly many, many times, but what she was like guides my life. And what she was like was because she was under God's direction.
Thank you, Jim. I'm going to switch back over now. When we come to Solomon, you were highlighted for me, and when we come to the story about Solomon, you're going to know that what your mother did for you, okay? Okay, where are we here? Point number, it's all about finishing well, okay? We just got that figured out, but it also seems we skip a step. We talk so much, and we're dealers in hope, aren't we? We want to have hope. We want to know what's not over. We want to know whether we can do something, no matter how our start's been. But the thing is, we seem to just skip over this whole thing. You know, we have these testimonies about people, and I know you ladies on the front row here, you know, there's more. The most cheering in this church goes on when you ladies get up and get baptized. Did you hear the announcement of baptism? In case you weren't, yeah. You know, when you get up and you give a testimony about where you started and where you are now, like it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? And I've never heard more cheering than that. But you know what? What about the one who starts well? What about the son or the daughter that gets up there and says, "I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad showed me what it meant to be a believer. I'd go by their bedroom and I'd hear them crying out to God for my life." We kind of go ho-hum with that testimony, don't we? But folks, it's all about starting well. And we seem to skip a step, if I could say it right. You know, my son had a poster on his thing, on his bedroom wall, and it was like about three cars parked out in front, a beautiful house. It looked like something down in Florida, that kind of pink stucco there, and the lights on and everything else. And the caption underneath was "Inspiration for Higher Education." And what's he trying to tell us about? If you go by that sign out in front there, there's a park bench that says, you know, "Start your career here at Maple Leaf," right? Well, it's about start. You know, I'm not sure maybe he's going to sign up because they know where this is going to go, right? But it's about starting well. You got to start well. You got to go through this thing. And I think we have a generation that wants to start off where mom and dad finished. It doesn't work like that, folks. Did you hear what I just said? There's a process involved with this thing. So I don't want to skip this step here, and I want us to understand that we go through that. It's so important that we get that. You know, we watch the, you know, it's great to hear the song. You know, I'm not much for country, but I like that song. "God Bless the Broken Road." You know, "God Bless the Broken Road." But how about just getting on the good road? How about people that are walking on the good road? We were overseas in a place that is 40 above right now, Celsius. And so we went to watch a movie, and it's about a guy who's a snowplow operator up in Colorado somewhere. You know you're doing pretty good when you're going to go watch a movie about snow. It's like, but this is what he got an award in the movie. Liam Neeson got this award, and he stands up in front of the crowd. It's a small community, right? So he got the Citizen of the Year award, and I got to quote what he said. He's accepting the award, and he says, "I chose a good road early." And he looks at his wife. "I chose a good road early." So I applaud that and say, you know what? It's so important that you start well. It's so important that you get on. Yes, yes, yes. I understand all the stuff about finishing well, and we just went through that. But we seem to skip a step. You know, the Bible declares that God is what? The Alpha and the Omega, you know? But he's also the Omega and the Alpha, isn't he? He's the beginning and the end, but he's also... Every ending's got a new beginning to it, and that gives us hope. That's wonderful, and I applaud that. That's great, and that's awesome. But let's bring up this quote. I don't know who it was. Maybe I heard somebody speaking this. What you are is God's gift to you. That's the start. That's your gift set. That's who you are. That's what God's doing in your life, you know, and he's wired you this a certain way. He's given you certain things, whether it's a strong will or a sense of humor or that you like the color red or whatever it is. But what you are is God's gift to you. But what you become is your gift to God. You get that? It's just about that whole thing as we walk through that. Okay, point number three. Yes, finish well, but with only a focus on the end, we totally miss the blessing that comes from a good start. It's absolutely critical that we get, you know, that we get this. And I know, what's his name there, the guy, the guru, John Maxwell, you know, talks about, I could beat anybody in a race. None of you guys look very fast anyways. I could beat all you guys in a race. Where's Thomas when I need him, the marathoner? I heard it from Wayne Cadero, so who, you know, whatever. He said, it's not about who's the fastest, it's about who starts first. I could beat anybody in a race. You could give me Usain Bolt, who is insane when he's running, but I could beat him in a race as long as I start 50 yards in front of him, right? That's just how it works. What was it? The guy who scared there says, in bobsledding, unless you're the lead dog, the view never changes. Yeah, okay. There, I got him red-faced again, just getting back on him. I'm going to pile it up here, buddy. But understand, we missed this. We go through this whole thing. And it's interesting because, you know, I used to do a lot of karate. And you know what's the very first thing they told us? They taught us? Of how to do the katas, you know, and self-defense. I mostly taekwondo because, you know, judo wasn't my build, right? So it was long legs, and that taekwondo was what I worked with. But you know what they taught? Guess what the very first... Anybody here take karate or that kind of judo or that kind of stuff? What's the very first thing they teach you? Pardon? About your stance. The very first thing they teach you is get your center of gravity low, you know, or come forward like that so they can't push you. You know, it's always about the stance. So in terms of everything they teach in karate, it says the start is absolutely critical, and you gotta start with a stance. You gotta start somewhere, and that's where you gotta start. You start with a stance. And guess what? When we talk about spiritual warfare, where do you start? Can I read it to you? Maybe it's from Ephesians, and this is what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your what? Stand. There we go. Just remember that word. It's like the girl this morning just led us. Against the devil's schemes, worldly forces of evil, they haven't found. Therefore, putting on the full armor of God so you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. That's in the scriptures. I'm just reading the scriptures. Therefore, stand firm. That when the belt of truth girded around your voice, stand. So number one, you got an enemy. Number two, get your stance right. Get your position, get your posture right. You have to, if you want to talk about spiritual warfare, start well. Start well, okay? We've got to understand that. Now, I'm not a real estate guy, but when you enter into somebody's house, guess what? They've already made their mind up the minute they walk into the foyer. Ooh. Can't you just feel the Holy Ghost here, honey? I just feel, and he looks at the real estate guy and he goes, how much is this? Well, it's only $75,000 over your budget, you know? And she goes, but honey, you could get a second job. It's the foyer that gets you. It just, bang, you caught it. I was at Springs, they would say, and Pastor Liam would get up there and say, they've decided where they're coming back to this church, you ushers, you people back there, they've decided where they're coming back to church long before I ever get up there. They've made their mind up. Well, they're going to do something to the front. You think, that's got nothing to do with the Spirit of God. Well, no, it's got everything to do with it. My wife always said, Len, they got to do something to the front of this church. And I'm going, what's that got to do then? God, what about the Holy Ghost? It's got everything to do with it. Like, it's about these first, you got to get this. You got to get this stuff in your spirit. Get this in your heart. You know, like, we just got to go with this. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you know, I remember waking up one time and I was going, oh, I woke up with Jesus on my mind. And I was so proud of myself. I woke up with Jesus on my mind. And all of a sudden, the Lord just kind of tapped me on the shoulder. He loves to do that to me. And he just says, Len, you don't wake up with Jesus on your mind. You wake up with the mind of Jesus. There's a big difference. Folks, can you imagine waking up in the morning? You were talking about starting well. Could you imagine waking up in the morning instead of dragging yourself out of bed? And, oh, boy, another day in the swamp. Here we go. I got to face this. Stop doing it. I got to put up with that nightmare of a boss. Wake up in the morning with thankfulness in your heart. Can you imagine starting well? Wake up in the morning just thankful. Look at the girl. Look at what you got around you. You're alive. Wake up thankful for something. Now, I can't talk about you folks because it's Sunday evening and you're here. It's like, oh, that's awesome. What are you guys doing here on a Mother's Day kind of thing? But could you imagine coming to church? You know, half hour late. The worship's on. Can you imagine them in heaven? Oh, when are they going to be done with this holy, holy, holy thing? The angels are flopping around there. You know, can we get on with the show here? Like, can you imagine them doing that? Like, seriously? And you come staggering in half hour late. You know, I hope I get the word there. I miss the worship. Could you imagine starting well? Could you imagine coming in prayed up, coming in an hour, coming in the back room, praying? Never mind Sunday morning. How about Saturday night? Could you imagine coming in that way? You come in half an hour late because, you had to walk through all your text messages, you know, or there was a line up at Tim Hortons, you know, so you had to get your coffee, so you're half hour late, come into church, and folks, that's not starting well. You come in postured, positioned, ready, hungry, anticipating, longing, waiting for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. That's starting well. And folks, when you come in like that, guess what? The word isn't just the word. The word becomes his voice. You hear his voice. How many want to hear his voice? I love his word, but I want to hear his voice. His voice speaks to me. There's this Spanish song that comes on. Actually, it was your daughter that sent it to me, Doris. She sent me this guy. It's in Spanish, but the subtitles are there. And some of the words, I got some of the words here. Yeah. I can hear your voice. It's sweeter than honey that pulls me out of this cave and it takes me to heaven. There are no bolts or locks in front of your voice. How many want to hear his voice? Well, you're going to walk in 45 minutes late, stagger in there and hope to get through it. Maybe somebody's going to see you. Folks, that's not starting well. I'm not trying to put a bee in your bonnet. Yeah, I am trying to put a bee in your bonnet. Show up. Start early. Start Saturday night. Prime, pump, ready to go. Oh, what's wrong with this coffee, man? And you want something from God? Start well. Could you get to the mother's part? You're Pastor Stephen said this. Listen to this. He preached on this. Pastor Stephen preached on this last week, 1 Corinthians 10. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact our ancestors were all. Can you remember what I did? Stand. I want you just to do all. Can you do all? Say all. All. Okay? So when I go like that, just say all. I don't want you guys ignorant of the fact our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea, baptized into Moses. All ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. They all saw the pillar of fire. But watch this. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. And then it goes on and talks about those sorts of things. And then it goes on and says this. These things happened to them as examples were written down as warnings for us. In other words, they all came to church. They all smiled at somebody. Maybe they even put an offering in. Maybe they looked around in the crowd and they shook hands when they talked. Pastor Phil had shake hands. But he wasn't pleased with everybody. You get that? They all had it. They all had the food. They all had the thing. They all had the stuff going on, folks. They're all part of the worship, but they all didn't get it. Start well. Start well. When he talks about first love, guess what he's talking about? Go back. Now, I'm not talking about first love in the sense of, I don't want to go back to the way I loved God at the beginning. I was in love with a God I didn't even know. You know what I mean? Like, talk about up and down roller coaster ride. Like, you know, he's talking about when he talks about that starting well, going back to your first love, he's talking about going back to that place where there's no distractions. Nothing there to distract. Remember when you were first married? Anybody that was first married here? When we were first dating, never mind married. Scratch the dating. Just when you remember that date you were on, that guy that just stole your heart? My wife and I were together, and when would this happen? Something was going on. We knew something was going on. And she came, we didn't know each other. So she came to Thunder Bay, Ontario, and we went to Old Fort William. And they were doing this thing in the old fort, and I'm not a really history guy, and they're showing us the beds, and the guys were doing all the stuff and everything else. And I looked at her and go, like, are you really into this? I said, no, she said, I don't think so. So we went over there, and the boat came up, and they played the bagpipes. That's where my wife got the idea of playing the bagpipes at our wedding, because I told her, I said, my dad was a Scot, and when I hear the bagpipes, it just makes the hair in my back stand on end. So on our wedding day, surprise, surprise, even the pastor didn't know that. She comes down the aisle, but before she came down the aisle, I'm standing at the front waiting for her, and before she came down the aisle, out comes this bagpiper, and he starts playing this thing, and I'm going, she was halfway down before anybody stood up, because she caught everybody off guard, right? And she told me later, I just wanted to make sure when I came down that aisle, your hair was standing up in the back. So anyway, the bagpipers playing, the boat comes up on the river cruise on the Mackenzie River, or I think it's whatever it is, and we get on this boat, and we were just looking at each other like, Twitter pages, man, like gonzo, like who, you could have showed nothing. It was just like, and we didn't realize, but everybody else in that boat, they were all looking at us, and they were all pointing, like they were stuck at zoo animals going, look at these crazy people, they're so in love. That's first love. You don't care about anybody else. You don't think about anybody else. You're in love. And he says, go back. Go to start well. Now go back and do that again. So start well, okay? All right. That's point number four. Let's go to this part here. You guys have been really good so far. There's no better place to start this conversation on starting well than to start with motherhood. Whoa. All right. Did you come to church starting well? Yeah? Did you come here tonight starting well? Or did you come to critique the message? I have a gift. I have the gift of critic. Maybe in the movie ministry there's such a gift, but I've looked in the Bible. I can't really find critic as the number one as a gift anywhere. I give that about a 5. What? What? All right, mothers. How many of you have ever heard this expression? We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. That's wonderful. But you know what it means? It means we're having a human experience. We're human beings. And as human beings, we have to accept the limitations that come with being a human being. Space and time and reach and all those different things. We have to accept these limitations. You know how very God came to earth? You know how he came to earth? He could have come like Barry, Mr. Manitoba, or Mr. Israel. I don't know. He could have. Couldn't he have? Could have skipped that whole baby diaper thing. How did he come? In the arms of a mother. You want to talk about accepting the limitations of the human being, and he showed us right there at the start of this thing, you have to be able to accept this right here. It's almost wild that I think about it. You know, here and now are the coordinates, and rather than looking to the future and wasting time dreaming about a better place, you know, King David needed somebody to sleep with him to keep him warm when he got older. Yeah. I told my wife, I showed her that in the scriptures, and she wanted to tear that page out. It's like, Okay, I'm just being funny here, you guys. Relax. Holy smokes, you guys are a tough crowd here. I never want to be a comedian. You have to accept the limitations that come with being a human being. Okay? That doesn't mean he doesn't want, but we, you know, understand that God trusted himself to a woman, to a mother's womb. Dancing with Wolves, I'm going to do, you know, if you ever saw the farewell for Pastor Mike, I had a clip from there, so, and I was trying to find that in that movie. I bought the movie back in 1991, whenever it was, and I was trying to find out that scene, and I found another scene as I was going through, and he looks at Dances with Wolf, Kevin Costner, and this is what he says to him: "You are on a good path. That is the path to becoming a true human being." And I was a human being long before I was a pastor. So yes, we're human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. But I'm a human being, and it's okay to be human. Do you understand that? So you moms, understand that the very God of heaven, there's nothing more vulnerable than just, he was in your womb. I'm amazed at that. You know, it just blows me away. All right. So God was born, he was a defenseless baby in the hands of a mother. Think about it. Like, think about it. Think about it. God, the creator who spoke light into being, out of his mouth came light, stars at 186,000 miles per second. And he says, hey, I think I'm going to be in her belly. That's like, come on, mom. And all they have, you know, all they ever had to do was look after the Savior of the world, and they lost him for 3 days. Like, are you serious, guys? Holy smokes. All right. You watch the NFL. Come on, Todd. I'm picking on you tonight. That's 3 out of 3. We watch the NFL. These other guys are watching the Bruins or whoever they are, but me and Todd. We watch the NFL, and you get these guys. I mean, they go, are you ever go, you know, you never give up on somebody. Hey, Mom, you want to talk about that? And Pastor Gordon mentioned that this morning. You know, like, you ever watch these courtroom scenes? I don't have a TV, but you watch these courtroom scenes, and he's got a bone in his nose, and Muggsy's his name, and he's robbed 85 people and killed, what, 37 or something like that. And who's in the front row in the cheering section? Mom! He didn't do it. Not my boy ever did. No, my boy never do something like that. Yeah, well, they got pictures of him, you know, kind of triangles. No. Never do it. You watch these football guys, and they all, like, you know, they're all 300 pounds and 6'8", and they're like big boys, right? What do they do when they get up there? They're kind of doing a little personal thing. What do they say? I like to thank my... I never heard one of them. No, I've watched a bit of football. I've never heard one of them say, I like to thank my dad. That's not important, but it's not Dad's Day. It's Mom's Day, okay? Moms matter. I'd like to thank my mom. Well, it's pretty touching. And I had to beat you guys over the head to get you to come up and say something nice about your mother. These guys are big hulking, man. They don't have any problem saying, hey, man, I love my mama. Don't you touch my mama, or are you going to be hamburger, boy? Come on. All right, ready? Jim, I told you, this is for you now. This is what your mother did for you. Let's bring up this. What is it? Is it a verse? I think it's a verse. Is it a verse? This is from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 to 7. So Solomon is writing this. So I'm going to help you out here, okay? So when I was a boy, that's Solomon, when he was a boy, in my father's house, who was his father? David. Still tender and cherished by my mother. Now, you have to understand, remember, female, like, it's not a priority thing. It's just, could you imagine everywhere in this Bible we had to go he, she, or male, female, or mother, father. It's just complicated. It's just simpler to go father, you know. So understand, do you know that Solomon, other than no book in the Bible past Proverbs, mentions mother more than Proverbs, than Solomon. Except for Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John mentions mother. I mean, mother, you just read this morning. Mother, look down, there's your mother. John mentioned it 9 times. Paul, the apostle, wrote a third of the New Testament. You know how many times he mentions mother in the scriptures? 0. to 2. Proverbs 15 times. So he mentions mother. And cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, or she taught me. Come on, he mentioned both of them. Then they taught me and said, get wisdom. Get understanding. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all that you have, get understanding. So do you get it? Bathsheba, David, sat their little boy on their knee and said to Solomon, get wisdom. Get understanding. Your mother, if I can focus on you because you were highlighted for me. Jim, sat you, that little boy, Jimmy, on her knee and talked to you. She was not a loud person. She didn't like the spotlight, but she taught you some things. And one of the things she taught you was get wisdom, because if I know anybody in this room, you have a lot of wisdom in you. You do. Now watch this. Can you get this story? Can you see this? It's in the scriptures, right? Now, what were they doing? Let's bring up the next verse. Solomon now is an older person. He's building the tabernacle. The glory of God's about ready to break out here. And God shows up. How many think that God can show up and he can talk to us and he can ask us a few things? That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Woo! Now, that's not me coming up to you girls and saying, you know, ask me for whatever you want, I'll give it to you. You're looking at me going, you got nothing to give me, buddy. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about the God of creation. He's got a pretty good bank account, right? He could pull on a few strings here to give you whatever you want. Ask me for whatever you want. I'll give it to you. And what do you think Solomon asked for? Well, let me just read it to you here. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father and mother, and you have made me king in this place. Now, Lord, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Do you get this? Don't miss this. A little boy sitting on mama's knee when nobody's watching, and mama and daddy are saying, get wisdom. Get understanding, kid. Above everything else, you get it. And here he had a chance, the God of all creation coming and ask me for whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And God goes on, because you haven't asked for wealth, you haven't asked for victory, you haven't asked for all these things, I'm going to give you all that besides that. But because you asked for wisdom. And where do you think he got that answer from? From back in Proverbs chapter 3, when he was just a little boy, tender on his mama's knee and daddy's knee. Now, let's go on to this next point. His mother and his father prepared Solomon for a God encounter that they weren't even around for. Do you understand that? Mom, you're doing things for your son, for your daughter, that you may not even be around for. We watched a little video this morning when we honored the mothers, and the kids were asking, what does your mom tell you to do most of all? And probably the most frequent thing is clean your room. And you're going, mom, you're going, oh, man, it's a mess. They're not going anywhere with this stuff. You know what? If I could use my son, if he was here, I'd probably say it to him. I have said it to him. It's like a hurricane came through. I mean, what did you do to this room, kid? There's only one of you in here. Did somebody sneak in through the window? But if you see my son's room right now, his mother is alive to see this. So it's like he's got ADD, or whatever that thing is, where all the color coded, like his socks are in order. Like his shirts are in order. Like from white to all, and you look at his apartment up there in Nipawai, and it's like, is this our kid? Did somebody sneak in here and clean it all up before we got here? That's just who he. And mom, you thinking, oh man, he ain't getting this. You know, you teach your kids a work ethic. Sorry, you teach them a work ethic, and you're trying to teach them. I don't think they're getting this. I don't think, you know what? Bathsheba was teaching her son. She never got to see it. Did she ever even see him write all those Proverbs? Did she read the song? I don't know. Maybe I should look at that. But, you know, like we go through these things, Mom. You're going through these things, and you're preparing them. They were, get wisdom, kid. Get understanding. They were praying. They were preparing their son for a God encounter that they weren't even around for. And when God came down and said, what do you want? He said, well, I remember what my mama said. Can't hurry, love. Oh, make no mistake. It don't come. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. It's like, I just, phew, rabbit. Get wisdom. My mama said, my daddy said, get wisdom. So you're training them for something. You're doing some things you may never even be around for. So don't lose hope. Don't give up on this stuff. You know, you go through these things and you go, Mom, it's just welcome to the world of moms. All right, I want to finish point number 6. Ready? Starting well means starting with the right perspective and understanding that, Mom, you're invisible. This is probably one of my favorite expressions. I'm not a mother, but I don't believe Paul was married, and yet he was able to give us some insights on married life. How did Paul know that you sleep with the harlot, you become one with her, unless it was by the Holy Spirit, right? So I'm not a mother, but I really think this is absolutely one of the... Starting well means starting with the right perspective and understanding that, Mom, you're invisible. So this is called The Invisible Mother. It's by a woman called Nicole Johnson. Are you okay? Sit back, put your pen down. One day I was walking, so she's writing this now. One day I was walking my son, Jake, to school. I was holding his hand and we were about to cross the street when the crossing guard said to him, who is that with you, young fella? Nobody, he shrugged. Nobody. The crossing guard and I laughed. My son's only 5, but as we crossed the street, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm nobody. As nobody, capital N, I would walk into a room and no one would notice. I would say something to my family like, turn the TV down, please, and nothing would happen. No one would get up or even make a move for the remote. I would stand there for a minute and then I would say again, a little louder, would someone please turn the TV down? Nothing. That's when I started putting it all together. I don't think anybody can see me. I'm invisible. It all began to make sense. The blank stares, the lack of response, the way one of the kids will walk into the room while I'm on the phone and ask to be taken to the store. Inside, I'd think, can't you see I'm on the phone? Obviously not. No one can see if I'm on the phone or cooking or sweeping the floor or even standing on my head in the corner. No one can see me because I'm the invisible mom. Some days I'm only a pair of hands, nothing more. Can you fix this? Can you tie that? Can you open this? Some days I'm merely a clock to ask what time is it. I'm a satellite guide to answer what number is the Disney Channel. Some days I'm a crystal ball. Where's my other sock? Where's my phone? What's for dinner? Hands, a clock, a crystal ball, but always invisible. One night, some girlfriends and I were having dinner, celebrating the return of a friend from England. She had just gotten back from a fabulous trip and was telling wonderful stories. I sat there looking around at the others, all so put together, so visible and vibrant. It was hard not to compare and feel sorry for myself. I was feeling pretty pathetic when my friend turned to me with a beautifully wrapped package and said, I brought you this. It was a book on the great cathedrals of Europe. I wasn't exactly sure why she'd given it to me until I read her inscription, quote, with admiration for the greatness of what you are building when no one sees. In the days ahead, I read, no, I devoured the book, and I discovered what would become for me 4 life-changing truths. Number 1, no one can say who built the great cathedrals. We have no record of their names. Number 2, these builders gave their whole lives for a work they would never see finished. You're preparing them for something you may never be around to see. They made great sacrifices and expected no credit. The passion of their building was fueled by their faith that the eyes of God saw everything. In the book, there was the story of a rich man who came to visit the cathedral while it was being built. So he's reading this book that a friend gave him. He saw a worker carving a tiny bird on the inside of a beam. He was puzzled and asked the man, "Why are you spending so much time carving this bird, that bird, into a beam that will be covered by the roof? No one will ever see it." And the worker replied, "Because God sees." After reading that, I closed the book, feeling the missing piece fall into place. It was almost as if I heard God whispering to me, "I see you. I see you, Mom. I see you, Mom. I see the sacrifices you make every day, even when no one around you does. No act of kindness you've done, no sequin you've sewn on, no cupcake you've baked, no last-minute errand is too small for me to notice and smile over. You are building a great cathedral, but you can't see right now what it will become. You're building a great cathedral, but you can't see right now what it will become. But I see. When I chose to view myself as a great builder instead of an invisible mom, I kept the right perspective. When I really think about it, I don't want my son to tell the friend he's bringing home from college for Thanksgiving, quote, "My mom gets up at 4 a.m. and bakes homemade pies, and then she hand bastes the turkey for 3 hours and presses all the linens for the table." That would mean I built a monument to myself. But I don't want that. I just want him. But I don't want that. I just want him to want to come home with a friend and share a wonderful meal as a family. The author of the book went so far as to say that no cathedrals could ever be built in our lifetime because there are so few people willing to sacrifice to that degree. I disagree. As mothers, we are building great cathedrals. We cannot be seen if we're doing it right, which is why we may feel invisible some days. But one day, it is very possible that the world will marvel not only at what we have built, but at the beauty that has been added to the world by the sacrifice of invisible moms. Moms here, do we have flowers? Do we have flowers tonight? Yes. Boy, that's a pretty rose. Could I just sneak in there and get one for my wife? All right. Before I was a believer, I had a very addictive personality, and I was into a lot of drugs and that sort of thing. And so I was in Hawaii because that's where some of the best pakalola, that's where the best marijuana stuff. It's okay to talk like this, right? Yeah, just checking. And so so Kauai Electric was some of the best of the best. I heard it on the street over there, so I went to Kauai, and I actually liked Kauai. Loved the Nepali coast. And so I would get, you know, it was all growing there up in the valley, and I would get some of the seed from that. And of course, I was very involved in the drug scene and culture back then. So I'd have it in my bathing suit. I'd have the seeds in my bathing suit, and I'd go swimming in the ocean. It's all salt water, right? So I'm swimming in the ocean. I have those seeds in my pocket. I'm laying in the sand. I'm under the fresh water coming off the forest, rainforest, the wettest spot on earth. I'm having a shower in there, and you know, it's in my pocket, and I flog around, bake in the sun, you know, all this sort of stuff for however long. And then I come back to Canada, be like 45 below, and I just leave all the seed out in the garage. It's all frozen, and I forget about it because, oh, I forgot about where those seeds go. But you know what happened? I used to have a little plantation, right? I had a little greenhouse there, and I covered it with camouflage gear so the planes flying over wouldn't see it, you know, catch the glint off the window thing, right? And I watched the plants grow and everything else. And the Lord does things for a reason, and he reminded me of that. And he says, "Remember that, Len?" I said, "Yeah, I remember that. Oh, those seeds were like crazy, man. They went through all that stuff, and then when I put them in the ground, up came, I mean, 2 years later, up came the plant. And I'd bring it out in a garbage bag. It was, you know, it wasn't fun, trust me. You may smile, but it wasn't fun. The Lord reminded me of that story. He says, "Len, guess what? what? Sorry, that's, I'm having a conversation. I'm hearing a voice, right? And he says to me, he says, Len, you know why they grew up? I said, why is that? He said, because the life is in the seed. Yes, the life is in the blood, but the life is in the seed. And you moms today, you future moms, everybody here tonight, I want you to understand, like Bathsheba, you had your son on your lap. You had your daughter on your lap. And you've been teaching them and you've been training them. And you've spoke to them about getting wisdom and being a follower of the Lord. And training up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. It's just about the way. It's not about being a follower of Jesus. It's about their career. About calling forth gift sets out of their life. I would look at my son, and I remember he played soccer. And we were over there. They won the he was on one of those road teams. I forget what the provincial team. And they won. And so they were celebrating around the pool. And I talked to the father of the coach, and he said, "Oh, I built my defense around Josiah." And I go, "Well, you built it around Josiah? How come?" He says, "Well, because your son sees the whole field." And I tell my son that. We tell our son that. My daughter. She's in the law field, and she was doing a court thing, and she was, the prosecution was over there, and she was defense, and he took her out for lunch. Can I take you? Yeah, I took him out for lunch. He saw the work he did. He says, "You're not using your number one gift, people calling people to their potential. Seeds, there's life in those seeds." My sister-in-law, in the womb, says she could pick up rejection. Oh, you know, that doesn't define your future. Let it go. You're accepted in the beloved. He's yours and you're his. You can let go of that stuff. You don't have to live your life out on that. There's no future in that past. Embrace that. People would come to us and they'd say to my kid's mother, and they'd say, "Oh, you got some good kids now, but just wait till they hit the teenage years." How many of you heard that line? Just wait till they hit the teenage years. Come on, put your hands up. Just wait till they hit the teenage years. You know what my wife would do? "I'm not buying that. Why do we want to accept that curse? Come on. Oh, wait till they hit the teenage. Oh, yeah, they're going to go. Wait till they hit the teenage years." Maybe you said it. I've said it. I know, but I'm just trying to. No, my wife would look at me and roll her eyes. "No, we're not taking that one then." Proverbs says an undeserved curse, it doesn't land on you. We're not taking that. We're not embracing that. So there's life in this stand tonight. There's life in the seed. And some of you folks, and I there's just some things you don't give up on. So I want us tonight, I'd be glad to pray with you, but I want you to come and bring the Lord into remembrance. It's Remembrance Day for mothers. Remembrance of the seed that you've sown and planted. And that seed was just through all the salt and through all the cold and through all the fresh water and beating sun and everything like that. That seed was just waiting for the right conditions, poof, to come alive. Puff. All of a sudden, there's some seeds that are coming alive right here in this front row. Pow. Pow. You don't even know it. Maybe mom's not even here. She's not around to watch it happen. But she planted a seed in you that's going to bear forth fruit. Amen. And one day God's going to come and he's going to say, "Hey, ask before you go on." You can say, "I remember what my mama said. I remember what my dad said. I'm going after wisdom." All right. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. There's women here, oh God. There's moms here. There's dads here. There's people here, oh God, that have planted seeds in coworkers and friends and neighbors, sons and daughters, nephews and nieces. And they've watched them walk out the door, but they have the heart of God. And there's just some things you won't give up on. And we want to just call forth life in that seed, oh God. Life, like Solomon, I just pray life in that seed and come, let it come forth even now. Let it come forth even now, God. Let us see it with our own eyes. Lord, follow through on your word, and I pray, God, you just let it come alive. Let it come alive. Let it fall on fertile soil. Let the rain of your spirit, oh God, let the desert bloom once again as the rain just falls on it, oh God. And that seed just lying in the ground. Someday, Lord, the rose, the song, someday, far beneath the winter's snow, lies a seed that in the springtime becomes a rose. And we call forth that rose. We call forth that fruit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.